before the message, Mrs. Lois Hornsby will sing. Fellowshipping last night with the 50 plus group. We had well over, I think, we're up 40, Brother Biz. What? 7 bowling lanes they took up, and we got some pro bowlers here. If you'll ask them, they'll tell you. Don't trust your eyes, you just ask them. It's the same distance whether it's in the gutter or if it's a strike, right? They had a good time. I really enjoyed watching and fellowshipping with them last night, and appreciate the 50-plus ministry hosting that. We had people of all ages, and they had a wonderful time mixed up in the different groups. We didn't just put the teens over on one side and the seniors on the other one, the middle age. It was all mixed in together, and they got to fellowship one another. Of all different age groups. So I appreciate that, Brother Biz. That was a wonderful time of fellowship. Exodus chapter number 33 this morning. And let's take a look from verse 10. And we'll read the rest of the chapter this morning, Exodus chapter 33, verse 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This morning we're going to talk a little bit, for a small amount of time, about knowing God. About knowing God. Now why should anybody want to know God? Well, the first thing we've got to understand is to know God, you must be born again. You must have faith in Christ so that you have a restored relationship with our Creator. God's creator of all things. For all the sin to come short of the glory of God. So therefore the sin has separated us from our Creator. And to get to know God in a real and personal way, you must come through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So the first step of getting to know God is to know that you are born again. Go with me in Isaiah chapter 57. Hold your place here in Exodus chapter 33. But in Isaiah chapter 33, you'll notice Isaiah 57. You'll notice what the Word of God says in verse number 19 through 21. Isaiah chapter 57. Verse number 19. God said, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters are cast up mire and dirt. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Dear friend, if you don't know Christ Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, you might have a calmness that comes about you during time to time throughout your life, and as you chart the waters of life, there may be days that you can handle and strengthen and forge on through the hour that is before you. But you will not know true peace without the righteousness of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And so to know God, we must have the righteousness of Christ imputed in us, and that only takes place by faith. For all have sinned and come short of glory of God. The Bible says, all of my righteousness are as filthy rags. All of my righteousness are as filthy rags. And so to know God in a real way through Christ Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, brings true peace. Go with me to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. In the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. The Word of God says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To understand and to have peace, dear friend, is to know God through a personal relationship through our Lord and Savior. John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. But when we have no God in us, there's those that say there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. When we stand in a place where we say there is no God, that I don't want to know about this God, the God of creation, when I stand opposed to God, then the wrath of God abides on us. But when I accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, because the debt of my sin that has been paid by Christ on the cross of Calvary, then I know God personally, K-N-O-W, because He abides in me. And He says here, I don't bring you peace as the world gives peace. I mean, many of you understand this about the sports arena. You have two teams, and they're playing, and one of them's your team, and the other one's the opposing team. And you're sitting there, and you're watching either at the stadium or by television, whichever way you're watching. And sometimes your emotions makes you think you know what's best in that situation. And you say, I know how my team should act, and I know the route that the coach should have went if he would have just did it my way. It's easy to say when you're off the field and you're standing out watching from a distance. But many of us think that we're actually on the team. At that moment, we think we're the right guard, and we would have done it this way. And boy, we're excited because we are on the team, but really we're spectators. And unfortunately, dear friend, I'm going to tell you this. Many are religious. Many think they know how God should do something. Many perhaps assume that and make presumptions of this is the way and that is the way. But God said, I am the way. Speaking as Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is just as much God as the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He says, to know my Father is to know me. And so we want peace. The first step of peace comes through knowing Christ in a personal, real way, accepting the fact that we have sinned and transgressed God's law, and that Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the very Son of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Christ died on the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. And by knowing God through Christ, we enjoy the peace with God and the peace of God. But unfortunately for many Christians, that's as far as we ever get in our walk with God. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We've trusted Christ. And that's it. The rest of this is my way. But dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we need to get to a point where we hunger and thirst after God. And we know God. Moses has been through a lot of things here. How many of you can guess how old Moses is at about this time? 40 years he spent in Egypt as the prince of Egypt, correct? 40 years he spent in the wilderness keeping sheep for his father-in-law and learning about God. Until God met him in a burning bush, and then God says, go get my people and tell Pharaoh to let my children go. Now we're at a point where they're around Mount Horeb. And as they're around Mount Horeb, God is telling them and told them, you are a bunch of stiff-necked people. You mean God talked to His people like that? He sure did. Go back over to Exodus 33. Twice in Exodus 33. Now these are His children, the nation of Israel, the apple of God's eye. And He says to them in verse number... Verse number 3. Unto a land flowing of milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art, what? A stiff-necked people. This is what God's saying to the nation of Israel. And then later on, down a few verses, again, I didn't underline it or didn't mark it in my Bible here, but some of you probably see it for me. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've accepted the fact that Christ is the Lamb of God, and that by faith and repentance toward God, you become a child of God, and you're able to call Him Abba Father, and then you refuse to grow in your faith, adding to your faith virtue, and patience, brotherly love. If you refuse to grow in grace, you are a stiff-necked people. Not just you, myself included. Some of us think we've arrived or we've achieved and we've become. And without us, God cannot work. Ye are a stiff-necked people. In so much, if you read this chapter, God said to the nation, to Moses, take my tabernacle and put it outside the tent, outside the congregation. Because inside the congregation of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. And if I got to keep coming in here amidst and amongst you, God said to the nation of Israel, I will consume you. So they removed the tabernacle and sent it outside the tabernacle. There, if you would, Moses, verse 7, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called the tabernacle the congregation. It came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation. This is what was going on. While it was inside the congregation, while the tabernacle was amongst the people, they just passed by the tabernacle. Well, I've been to church. They would go past with their donkey and say, well, you know, I had in mind that I would bring a lamb of the 14th day that I watched and I was going to offer it. But, you know, since I'm here, God, you know my heart. And they would pass by with their family and say, children, now listen, that's the tabernacle and that's where the Ark of the Covenant is and that's where God dwells. And, well, we've been at the tabernacle today. And they refused to be conformed to the image of God. There's many of us who live our life not willing to be conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God. And that is the predestined will of God that you and I, after being saved, after being born again, having our sins washed away, that our lives become new. 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things, not good intentions, all things are passed away and all things become new. If you're a stiff-necked people, Moses moved the congregation, the tabernacle outside the congregation. And then those that would seek God. Now think about it, Brother James. Here's the testimony. For a time it was inside there. Now it's removed. So if you choose to go to the tabernacle, guess who sees you? If you choose, Brother Bill, and your family choose to go over and worship in the tabernacle, now you're bringing your lamb, your turtle dove, your meal offering, you're coming over, everybody takes note, and you're a testimony for God that, hey, I want to know God. I want to be different than the rest of the crowd. I want to have a change in my life, and so that it moves me. And it speaks volumes to those around. And it should bring conviction into their lives. That you want to be different in so much that you will go up. Listen to what it says. Verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without. And he didn't put it around the corner. Afar off. Let me tell you, dear friend. Sometimes our stiff neck. And our own will, and our own ability, and our own pride, and our own confidence hinges us up and rests our attention. And we cannot know God because of our own selves. We just say, well, I've been to church. Well, there's the tabernacle. Oh, smell that, Brother Hector? That's the incense of the offering. Wow. Hey, children, that's the incense. Hey, brother, that's going. Hey, what's that box over? That's the showbread. They're bringing the showbread into the tabernacle. And because I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I feel like I've been. But we're spectators. Just like when we're watching through the TV. Come on, Drew Brees, throw the pass. What's wrong with you? Come on. Steph Curry, shoot the ball. You should have shot a three there, not a layup. And we feel like we're on the team, but we're really spectators. Really just spectators. And I'm telling you, dear friend, that many of us, we bought the memorabilia. We wear our team jersey on game day. But we're spectators. And God said, listen, let's move out. Now you notice, as Moses got in there, this is real stuff here, dear friend. Moses goes into the tabernacle. Joshua goes in with him. The Bible says there was a cloud. The glory of God came to the door. You know what the Bible says in Revelation about the church? It says, I stood at the door and I knocked. And you wouldn't open. There's a cloud. Moses is inside the tabernacle. Listen, this is where many of us abide. We think because we get in church, we're quite all right. Yeah, I've warm in a pew. I've opened up a song book. Oh, I sung along with the solo. I hymned and, you know, I tapped my foot while I was there. Preacher said, turn to this book or turn to that book, and I did it. The glory of God is at the door. The people are there, and they're saying, wow, what's going on over at the tabernacle? Moses wanted to know God much more. He wanted to know God in a deeper sense. And I'm telling you, he'd been through a lot. I don't know about you, but I have never yet took a stick and water come up out of a rock. I never stood at the Red Sea and saw the mighty hand of God part the Red Sea. Moses has been through a lot, dear friend. He's been around God at work a lot. I never went into the Pharaoh and said, listen, God said, let his people go. Plague one. Plague two. Plague three. You know, all the way to plague 10. And Moses says, okay, God, it's about done with you, Pharaoh. You will not see my face again until we're ran up out of here. God, Moses has seen the hand of God at work a lot. But he wants to know it. He wants to know it in a real, personal way. And the Bible says there in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaking unto his friend. Wait a minute. He's not inside the tabernacle. He left Joshua in the tabernacle. Joshua's back at the tabernacle. It came to pass, verse 9, it came to pass as Moses entered the tabernacle, clad in a pillar, descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing in the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent. The Lord spake with Moses as man face to face, as a man speaking to his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, Moses has left the tabernacle and he's returned unto the camp. Wait a minute, why would he go back to the camp where those stiff-necked people were? Where those that had never trusted Christ. Remember, there was a mixed multitude that left Egypt? They're back at the camp. Why would he go back? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you're not going to know anything about God until you get to where God is, and God is about people. Too many of us want to camp out inside the church and not be involved out in the community, not be involved with those around us, not being concerned with those that are going and dying and going to spend eternity in hell. If you want to know God, dear friend, you're going to get around people who are in need of God. Too many of us camped out in the congregation. We're like Josh. I'm going to be a general one day. Is Josh going to be a general one day? Sure is. But to know God, Moses left the tabernacle. Wait a minute, that just don't make sense, preacher. Well, I'm just reading the whole thing. He's in the tabernacle, verse 7. It's afar off. It's way out yonder somewhere. He's talking, God came down, the cloud of pillar came at verse 9. All the people saw it, they began to worship. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. There's something about your life, if you live for God, it makes a difference in the lives of others. The others that were stiff-necked, the others that was afar off, the others that, they began to worship because they saw a cloud. Listen, when people in our community see the hand of God over our church, dear friend, it's going to make a difference in their lives. But we have to leave the congregation of the tabernacle, and we got to get out into the fields, for the fields are already ripe for the harvest. How can we do that, Pastor? How can we know God? Verse 13 says, I can know Him through faith in His Word. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that that this nation is thy people. If I have found grace in thy sight. How do you know that you're saved, dear friend? By the promises of the Word of God. Some of us not spend no time in the Word of God. Do you understand when we get down to this chapter, do you understand where He's fixing the head? Brother Ray, you know where He's fixing the head? Go to the next chapter. First verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew the two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon the tables the words. You know where he's headed? To get the Ten Commandments. What's the Ten Commandments? The Word of God. You know what Jesus said to the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Well, I don't know nothing about God. I don't know how do we know? You're going to know by faith and delving off and ferreting through and forging through the Scriptures and absorbing the Word of God into your life that you may know Him in a personal way. Moses said, listen, I want to know that I have found grace in thy sight. Do you understand that grace grants us great favor with God? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not yourselves. You're blessed. God's grace, marvelous grace. You don't know God, you're going to know God by the Word of God, by faith in the Word of God, and reading the Scriptures and understanding that it is absolute and it's true. It's not a fairy tale. It is forever settled. And it tells us God's story for us to absorb and understand and to get to know Him. Because His ways are higher than our ways. So you're going to know Him through the promises of the Word of God, by faith. And listen, grace is made personal and it's put into practice by faith. There's too many of us walking by sight, dear friend. We see it, we can understand it, let's do it. Well, I can figure that out, so let's go ahead and get to doing that. We need to walk by faith, dear friend. God wants to move through us in a mighty way, and it takes us rising up and getting outside the congregation of the tabernacle and getting this world so that God can make a difference in our community through us. You know, if you appropriate God's grace by believing in His Word, I believe it increases my faith. Pastor, you're being silly. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by cartoons. No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by poems. No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You want to know God, dear friend? You got to get in the Word. Well, I've got all kind of experiences. I don't think, Brother James, not one of us got the experience that Brother Moses had. You want to talk about experiences? He had them. How many of you seen a burning bush lately that spoke to you and wasn't consumed? How many of you were hid 3 months by your parents because they saw you to be a proper child? That's what Hebrews says in chapter 11. As a proper child and taken off and raised up into the world. Raised up in the world. And God still used me. I mean, we can throw experience because we don't line up with Moses. You might have some good experiences. But you ain't in the way of Moses. You're going to know God by His Word. And secondly, you're going to know God through the focusing on His way. What's that verse 13? Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Lord, I need to know that I found grace. How do we get it? We get it through the Word of God. We get the promises of God. The promises of God. Yea and amen. Then He says, show me now thy way. Thy way. You know how to get to know God? Focusing on His way. Too many of us trying to run around and build our own kingdom. Trying to do our own thing. Trying to promote our own self. Trying to get a little further down the road so we can protect our little piece of the pie. There was 5 talents that were given out to one man. There was 3 given to another. There was 2. There was 1 given. The one said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to hide off into
pushed them, covered up. Boom, 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 boom. The Lord came back and said, what did you do with yours? What did you do with yours? Well, I hid mine because I knew you was a hard man. And he took it from him and gave it to the one for five. The Lord's way isn't hiding off into the bush and trying to wait till something may happen. The way of God is to get into the world and make a difference. God gave his only begotten Son that he might come to this world. He didn't stay off in the heavens somewhere. He came and walked in the midst of people. What's God's way? I guarantee you it's contrary to human thinking. It's guaranteed that it's contrary to God, to the way that we're thinking. We're going to have to get on God's way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know him by learning his plan of creation and his plan of redemption. We know him by studying the work of God amongst people. We linger around the cross of Calvary. We get around our Savior. We hear the heartbeat of God. We linger around the things of God. We watch how God works. Well, I don't know how God works. You don't know how the wind works either, but you believe in it. The wind bloweth where it listeth. No man can tell if it's coming here or go there. But I'm telling you, friend, you see an old drunk who's been saved and born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lays down that old Fiat, and he takes up a 66. In case you didn't know, it's 66 books. Not a fifth of whiskey. And he takes the Word of God, and his life is transformed and changed. Then you understand the way of God. You take a church that is just mingling along and just ambling about. They wake up, they sing a song, they sit down, they sing another one. They take an offering and then they go home and it's like robots running around. And then God gets in that thing and God gets involved and God begins to set fire one by one. And before long, there's people reaching other people in the community and people are concerned about the lost and the hurt and those that are going through difficulties and trials and they're consumed with others. And God begins to move and revives a work in that way. You study God's way. Most said, I want to know your way. Well, wait a minute. He had done been led by a cloud and a pillar of fire in whichever way they went. If the cloud stopped, the nation of Israel stopped. If the fire moved on, the nation of Israel moved on. He had done been led around the way. Some of us are living on past experiences and letting the future die. Well, I don't know how God, he worked this way, that way, this way. What is God going to do tomorrow is what we better be concerned with. By his way. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You want to know the way of God, dear friend? You're going to have to walk in purity. Pure. He is pure. So, you can know him through his word. But many know the word, but don't know the living word. You can't get these steps out of order. You got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because this is a spiritual book and it's spiritually discerned. So you know Christ as Savior. Then he begins to reveal the written word to us, because he is the living word. And then we, as we know him through the word, we watch his way. We study the cross. We study Christ. He didn't leave us oblivious to how we should operate amongst the living and the dead here on this earth. He's showed us how he would do it, and how that's what we should do. And many of you remember the old bracelets. What would WWJD, what would Jesus do? Let me tell you something. There's a lot in here that Jesus did. And so you study it out, you look at it, and then, dear friend, we can know God through simple, full surrender. Simple, full surrender. Moses said there in verse 14, look back in verse 14, Exodus 33. Moses said, and he said, God said this to Moses, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." The only way God is going to spend time with us is if we're fully surrendered to God. Why do you say that? Because he's a jealous God. And you can't serve two masters, because you'll love the one, cling to the other, and cling to it, or you'll hate the other and despise the other. You can't do it. So for Moses to have God say, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest," meant that God was saying to Moses, "Moses, I am it. I am that I am." What's the first commandment? He's fixing to get up on the mountain now. Commandment one: no other God before me. Full surrender. Full surrender. What in the world are we hanging on to, dear friend? We're hanging on to this. We're hanging on to that. God will serve you on Sunday, but on Monday, that's my time. God, on Wednesday, I might check in with you, but Thursday, I got to check out, because I got to have some me time. Full surrender, dear friend. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee." Ooh. You know what? I found out God's faithfulness is just as faithful in good times as in difficult times. I don't even know if that's making a good sentence. God's faithfulness is just as good as his faithfulness in good times or bad times. In other words, his faithfulness doesn't change because our circumstances change. We just have to surrender. We have to be surrendered. Listen, he's willing to keep following God wherever he would lead. Look at the next verse in verse 15. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." God, as long as your presence is there, what did the word tell us? "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. I'm with you always." Now here's a few questions and we're done. I know I want 10 minutes past my allotted time. Y'all give me a detention and we'll get shortened. We'll shorten it up this evening. How about that? Y'all come back this evening and I'll give you 10 minutes back. That's a fair trade. Here's a question. Do you long to know God? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer it for yourself. Do you long to know God? "Well, I'm saved, Pastor. It wasn't about the same about being saved." Moses was a Hebrew. Born that way. What did your brother do? They didn't pull him out of that basket of the Nile and all of a sudden he was changed over to be an Egyptian. He was born a Hebrew. So it's not about I'm not talking. Listen, if you're lost this morning, today is the day of salvation. That's for certain. But I'm talking to Christians right now. Do you long to know God? Do you? Well, I know him, and I've been a Christian now 25 years. Okay, do you long to know him better? Because if you're saying no, that means you believe God is limited. And you've learned all there is to know about God, so therefore you must be God, right along beside him. No, because Jesus said, I don't even count it robbery to be equal to him. I don't think we can say that. I think we better say like Paul, "I'm chiefest of sinner." Chiefest. Okay. So if you long to know him better, you got to take his word, look at his way, and then you got to just say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. How many of us have said that? Here am I. Well, whatever way you want, I'm surrendered. Here am I. Maybe if you want me to here, you want me there, you want to do this, Lord, here am I. His word, his way, and just simply yielding. Let's stand to our feet. What page, Brother Jim?
161,
church. We're going to sing a song of invitation here in a minute. And perhaps there's one here that doesn't know Christ, their first Lord and Savior. Won't you come, let us take the Bible and show you. Maybe you're a child of God and you've just been going in it your way because your way is better than God's way. I don't think that's going to work out too well in the end for you. Why don't you use the altars? Come spend some time with God. Come get to know Him a little better.